Mal was surrounded by darkness. She didn't know where she was, but she knew what she felt. Fear. A cold realization that someone was stalking her. She suddenly became aware of a dim glow in the distance. Then she heard a faint sound, a chorus of people saying something she couldn't quite make out. They were approaching her, muttering some kind of chant. And soon she could hear the words. The light became stronger as several cloaked figures approached her. They were all chanting and holding lanterns that swung gently at their sides. Mal tried to talk to them. Her mouth opened, but no sound came out. The cloaked figures chanted louder as they surrounded her. One of them approached her and held his lantern up to illuminate Mal's face. She saw a mark on his arm, a tattoo, an ornate pattern that seemed to move and shift as she stared at it. The figure chanted louder. Mal reached out and threw the hood of his cloak back. The man had no features on his face. It was smooth and pale. No eyes, no mouth, just bare skin. Mal opened her mouth wide, and this time was able to scream. Mal woke up, jerking her body forward. There was a scream stuck in her throat, but she managed to stifle it. She looked around slowly, taking in her surroundings, pushing the nightmare back into the recesses of her mind. She was sitting on the floor of a small, dark room, maybe 5 meters by 5, with a ceiling that looked to give just enough clearance that she wouldn't bang her head if she stood up. As her eyes adjusted to the dim lighting, she could see a single door in the far corner. There was a tiny barred opening near the top, from which a small sliver of light slipped through. Ace was there, standing by the door, peering out of the tiny window, his face partially visible. Ace turned to her as if he had sensed she was awake. He motioned her over to him. Mal got to her feet, but had to put her hands on the wall to steady herself. She took a deep breath and closed her eyes, trying to shake the fuzzy feeling in her head. She exhaled slowly and opened her eyes, feeling slightly better. She walked over to Ace.
Where are we?
Ace put his finger to his lips, gesturing for her to be quiet. He waited until she was next to him at the door before whispering softly. There's one guard outside the door, but I can hear more voices at the end of the tunnel.
Carter?
Ace shrugged. Mal took a look through the small barred window. Outside, she saw the guard, leaning against the rock wall, looking at his VCOM with a dumb grin on his face. Beyond him, she could see a man-made tunnel carved into the rock. It ran about 10 meters, then opened up into some kind of room. She could hear voices, and there were a few shadows bouncing on the walls, but she couldn't make anything or anyone out clearly. She thought about calling out for Carter, but decided against it and turned back to Ace.
We're somewhere in the Barrens.
How do you know?
Ace pulled back from the door and pointed at the far wall of the room. There was a pipe that dropped out of the ceiling and ran the length of the cell, before disappearing into the wall into the next room. There was a symbol written on the pipe.
I know that symbol. Fire damp. They trap the gases in Hell's Gate and the Barrens.
Mal looked at the symbol and wiped away some of the grime, so it was easier to read. The symbol said CH4.
That's hydrogen carbide, methane. They pump it up the chute and use it for fuel.
Ace nodded and said the only name he knew for the gas.
The miners called it fire damp.
Okay. So what?
We're in the Barrens. If we can get out of the cell, I can navigate.
Mal looked at the door, pushed her weight against it. It was solid.
Yeah. That's a big if.
Ace put his back to the wall and slid down to the floor.
So why are we in the cell? I thought Carter was your friend.
I don't know what happened.
He gassed us up and locked us up. That's what happened.
He saw you and got suspicious, that's all. I have to talk to him.
She moved unsteadily toward the barred window, ready to call out to Carter. But Ace blocked her, putting a hand on her shoulder.
Don't. He knows you don't have the data drive. What do you think he's gonna do to us?
What? Nothing. I'll just tell him what happened. That we put the drive in Hazel, and I'll tell him...
She backed away, trying to gather herself.
How'd you get involved in this anyway?
Mal sat down next to Ace and looked at the far wall as if she was calling back a memory. She was silent for a moment. Ace absentmindedly picked up a few loose rocks from the floor and tossed them in front of him. Finally, Mal spoke.
My life was changing. I had never been to the Shoot before. I was raised in Eagle's Nest. I went to military school and trained with the Gallows Brigade.
Gallows Brigade? What's that?
Soldiers. Best of the best. They used to do surface recon, but that was a long time ago. Anyway, my mother sent me to Winter Garden when I turned 14. My uncle taught me all about the systems that keep Subterra up and running. Geology resources, food production, medical science, water purification, energy conversion.
Ace was growing frustrated. He wanted answers that would help them get out of their current situation.
I get it. You're smart. Just tell me about Carter.
Sorry. Carter. Well, I wanted to go to the Shoot. I wanted to see how regular people lived. Anyway, I got my chance at the Quarter Harvest Ball. I snuck off and boarded a transport.
So you met Carter in the Shoot?
I saw him in a pub club in Delta Sector. He was dancing with a group of his friends. I had never seen anyone dance like that before. He saw me in the crowd, came to me, pulled me out on the dance floor with his friends, and I danced. I felt, for the first time in my life, I felt free. And it was Carter who gave me that feeling.
Ace said nothing. He picked up another rock and felt the smooth edges before letting it slip through his fingers.
After that, I met him every chance I got. He accepted me for me. Carter introduced me to his friends. They were different from anyone I had ever known. They read books and had new ideas about how things should be. It was just different from what I was used to. They made me see how the locks were controlling everything. How they were keeping the citizens pacified. After what I had seen in Eagle's Nest and Winter Garden, it all made sense to me.
What did you see?
My family rules Subterra with an iron fist. They don't allow anyone to have a voice or an opinion about how things should be. Carter taught me that the citizens live in fear, enslaved by an elite ruling class. It's a dictatorship. Do you even know what that is, Ace?
No. But I know what it's like to be afraid. At least with a chip, you get to dance and go to pub clubs. If I showed up in the Shoot and a sentry caught me, I'd be tossed into the lava vats with the other barren dwellers.
I told Carter I would help. I wanted to be part of something bigger, something important. They had heard there was a secret passage to Eagle's Nest, a route that would bypass all the security systems. Eagle's Nest is the only location in Subterra with a direct transport tube to the surface. If Carter gets to the surface, if he can prove that there is life there, then everyone will know that we've been lied to and manipulated. The tyranny will be finished.
So that's when you met me. When you were on the way to steal those blueprints.
That's right. And once I explain everything to Carter, he'll accept you, too. You can join us.
And you're going to stop the tyranny. That's what you want.
I want to make a difference. And Carter...
Carter put us in this jail cell.
I just need to talk to him. Make him understand.
Mal got up and went back to the door, peering through the barred window. There were a pair of eyes staring back at her. Mal gasped and stepped back. The guard was standing at the door, glaring at Mal through the bars. He looked over his shoulder and called out.
They're awake!
Ace and Mal could hear raised voices getting louder as people approached the door. They stood up, then stepped back when they heard a key enter the lock. Tumblers turned and the door opened with a deep, rusty groan. The guard stepped into the cell first and moved to the side. Two more people entered after him. There was a woman, very tall, broad-shouldered with piercing eyes that quickly scanned Ace and Mal. She held a short metal rod in her right hand that she tapped against her thigh as she looked over the captives. A man entered next. He wore a floor-length cloak with a hood that obscured his facial features. He moved very close to Mal and slowly pulled the hood back. It was Carter. His blue eyes locked onto Mal. He cocked his head and smiled at her. Ace looked at Mal, who was just watching him in silence.
I'm disappointed. I thought you were with us.
Mal took a step forward, suddenly filled with fury.
Why did you gas me? Why did you put me in here? What's wrong with you?
Where is the drive?
Mal took another step and reached out to slap Carter across the face. But the Amazon put up her forearm and blocked the blow. She held up the metal rod menacingly, and Mal stepped back against the wall.
Don't do anything stupid now, Mal. Rena has a very short temper.
You didn't trust me.
Carter turned and grabbed the guard's VCOM. He punched a few buttons and then turned the screen towards Mal and Ace.
We hacked the surveillance cameras. You changed the plan.
On screen, Mal slips the data drive into Hazel's compartment and sends her off.
That? We had to create a diversion. Hazel, the bot will come back. She's locked onto my biochip.
Carter tossed the VCOM back to the guard.
Not anymore. We blanked your chip.
What? Why?
Because you're a lock, and you can't be trusted. I sent 6 men on a tracker after that bot. We'll find it, fry it, and then retrieve the drive.
Better not touch Hazel.
Carter laughed, then nodded to Rena. She moved too fast for Ace to defend himself as she slammed the metal rod into his stomach, doubling him over, sending him down to one knee as he choked and gasped for air.
Don't worry, Mal, I still need you. For now.
You think I'll help you now? You're mental.
Carter's eyes locked onto Mal's. They were burning. It looked like he was going to reach out and grab her, but instead, he pulled a slim canister from his pouch. There was a nozzle at the end. He held it up to his mouth and pressed the nozzle. Gas hissed out of the canister, and Carter breathed it in. He closed his eyes and held his breath. After what seemed like a long time, he finally exhaled and opened his eyes. His pupils were dilated, so huge they looked like black saucers.
So naive. And gullible. Just another out-of-touch lock who only cares about her own ambitions. You'll do what I ask when the time comes, and if you don't, I'm sure you'll fetch a nice ransom.
Carter turned to exit, but stopped to say one last thing to the guard.
I have no use for the boy. Kill him.
Mal started to protest, but Rena was on her in a flash. She handcuffed Mal to the overhead pipe. The guard grabbed Ace, who was still stunned from the blow to his gut, and chained him up next to Mal, looping the cuffs over the pipe. Rena gave a final smirk to Mal, then followed Carter out of the cell, slamming the door behind her. The guard turned toward Ace and pulled something out of his back pocket. It glinted in the pale light. A knife. He grinned at Ace and stepped forward, brandishing the knife as his grin widened. Ace pulled down, trying to slip his hands through the cuffs, but they were locked tight. He pulled down again and felt something give. He looked up at the pipe and saw a small plume of dust. The coupling was pitted with rust. He yanked again and saw the pipe give a little.
Don't struggle, kid. This will all be over in a minute or two.
Don't touch him!
I'll try not to get any blood on you, princess.
With the knife just inches from his throat, Ace pulled down violently on the pipe. He drew his knees up, feet off the floor, putting all of his weight on the pipe. It cracked, then broke away from the damaged coupling. The pipe hissed loudly as methane gas rushed out of the opening. Ace pulled the pipe forward, sending the gas directly into the face of the guard. Ace pulled his handcuffs off the pipe and reached into his pocket for the flint. He struck it against the wall near the leaking pipe. A jet of yellow fire belched forth, enveloping the guard's head in a wreath of hot flames. He screamed and covered his eyes with his hands. He turned to run and slammed into the iron door. He reeled back, stunned, and Ace was on him instantly, flipping the chain over the guard's neck and pulling it tight around his throat. The guard struggled, but Ace put his knee in the guard's back, pulling back harder, cutting off the air supply, choking him. The guard went limp and fell to the floor. Mal slipped her chain off of the pipe, careful to avoid the gouts of flame still spewing out.
His keys!
Ace rifled through the guard's pockets and found a key. He tried to slide it into his restraints, but it didn't fit.
No, this must be for the door.
We gotta get out of these cuffs first.
That thing in your hair. The fairy, give it to me.
My hairpin? Why?
The guard groaned softly but didn't get up.
Just give it to me, quick.
Mal reached behind her head and pulled out the silver hairpin. Ace grabbed it and inserted it into the lock of his cuffs. He twisted the hairpin, listening closely as it tapped against the mechanism. He twisted it once more and the lock sprung free. He pulled off one cuff and went to work on the other.
How do you learn to do that?
It's nothing. A man I knew taught me.
I never thought that thing would come in so handy. I thought my family gave it to me because it was a symbol of my status, because it was precious, something nobody else could have.
You said fairies are magical creatures. Maybe it's lucky.
Ace twisted the hairpin again and opened the other cuff. He rubbed his wrist, then got to work on Mal's restraints.
Maybe a status symbol, maybe something to make you feel pretty and special, but also an excellent tool.
He popped the lock on Mal's cuffs quickly, and she dropped the restraints to the floor. Ace used the guard's key on the door, opening it slowly. He looked outside, but it was clear. Carter and his people had left the area.
We have to find Hazel before Carter does.
30 of them and 2 of us? No problem.
Ace walked down the corridor and into the adjacent room. Mal was right behind him.
Well, we have one thing going for us.
Yeah? What's that?
We're in the Barrens. They don't know this place like I do.
Nobody does. Ace moved quickly toward a passageway and broke into a run. Mal twisted her hair up and tucked the hairpin back in before taking off after him.
Subterra, written and produced by Steve Kruger and Warren Davis. Performed by Marty Yu,
Cece Boyce,
Doug Perkins,
and
Kyle Bornheimer.